Hey guys, oh, I said this here. No, hey guys, I forgot. Okay, how should I don't even know. Last time I said hello. Okay, so okay, let's just start. Let's just start. I'll look for another intro. So for the next episode, I don't know. Today I'm all over the place, maybe because I'm nervous. I'm nervous because I don't know anything about what we're about to talk about. So on that note, I'm just going to put it out there and tell you guys that this year we are going to have a lot of football discussions as well, because in the spirit of rebranding and trying to expand and trying to put a holistic image out there, I feel like it would be cool to, like, you know, add football every now and then, because football is like a big part of our lives. Maybe not a lot of females, but low-key sort of affects us too. But yeah, okay, my guest is called David. Hello, David.
Hello, Araba.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm also good. So guys, David is actually like a professional commentator, radio personality, and like all that. So today I'm a bit nervous because I'm doing the work of a professional when I'm here, professional. So now that I'm professional, so I'm like, hey, what if I don't do anything well? But yeah, David will take it easy on me, won't you?
No problem.
Okay, David. So what I'm going to do is, before we get into like proper football stuff, I'm going to talk a bit about you first. So like sort of introduce you to my listeners. So I've known you for quite a while now, before we adulted, I guess. And I've always known you as someone who liked football. Is this something you woke up one day and said, oh, I want to get into football? Because I don't know, but I don't think you can play football. Can you play football?
Not at all. I think that's the only thing God didn't give me. I liked football from age 3. That's when I began watching football.
Wow. And
it's been a passion, because I was introduced at my tender age by my father, who was also an avid football fan. He supported Busia Drafts, but locally I support Kumasi Asante Kotoko.
Oh, nice.
But both of us share the same club ambitions when it comes to foreign football. He's a Manchester United fan, same as me.
Oh, interesting.
So that was where it all started.
Okay, because you couldn't even play FIFA to save your life.
I thought that was supposed to be a secret.
I'm so sorry I'm bringing your secret out there. So it was very strange for me, honestly, watching you be so passionate about football and you couldn't play in real life, couldn't play virtually. I'm like, is David sure he wants to do football? I didn't avert my mind to all the other possibilities of like, oh, you can be on radio, like analyzing it. And I know you wanted to be a coach.
Yeah, I wanted to be a coach. That was the end goal of all this passion. But, you know, at some point, my mom made it clear she wasn't going to pay for school fees for me to go and stand on the touchline. No offense to coaches, but she was like, you can't go to Oga School, you can't go to Legon, and at the end of the day, you're going to stand on the touchline and be sun hit. So she was never going to support the dream of being a coach. But then I had to find a way or another way of still keeping up with the passion, and I found journalism as the haven, and it's been good so far. Let me say that way.
Honestly, I don't think mommy has been fair to you, because I mean, coaches make mad money as well.
Well, so, it depends on where you are on this part.
Yeah, I mean, but looking at your journey, I mean, you should think anything is possible. But I'll get there. But yeah, mommy hasn't been fair, because I mean, you start from somewhere and then you get somewhere. But anyways, so like I said, looking at your journey, so I remember there was a time in school where your friends were playing FIFA, I was around, everybody was playing FIFA, and if I'm not, one time, like, they would always laugh at you, you give them a formation and the person you give the formation to might not actually score, and I'm thinking that's because of their skills and not your formation, but they'll find a way to make it about you and love. But that like never sort of shook you, that never made you like put you say, oh, then I'll not do football again because it seems like I'm not doing well at it. You never wavered, you just laugh and say, oh, and you kept on moving. Like, that's really inspirational for me. I want to know, is it because it's something your dad introduced you to, or is something, well, like, what gave you that strength to, you know, brush all those things aside and just say, you know what, I'm still going to follow what I want to follow?
I think it's a bit of both. Football has been everything I was introduced to. Like you mentioned, I never got the chance to play football. I only played football at basic school through to GHS. Mm-hmm. I got to play with the school team, but that was even for the games within the school. When we were preparing for inter-schools, when the final teams came out, I didn't make the final squad. I had to become a cheerleader. And it didn't kill my dream there, because I obviously knew I wasn't going to be able to play now level. So mm-hmm. I had to find a way around. My passion had always been coaching, watching games, analyzing games, get to understand tactics, get to understand player roles. All of those mm-hmm. things have been things I've always wanted. So even yeah. in video games, when I'm playing FIFA, for example, instead of playing the normal way, I would, if I pick a team, for example, if I was to pick Juventus, I know mm-hmm. in real life, Juventus play a 3-5-2. So I would always stick with a 3-5-2. Even mm-hmm. when I'm playing virtual game. But when you are playing a video game, it's you controlling the players. So mm-hmm. you might pick a 3-5-2, but it wouldn't suit your opponent because the way you defend will leave acres of space behind mm-hmm. for your opponents to exploit. So that was why almost every time they would laugh at the formation, they would laugh at the fact that you're trying to be a coach, but you yeah. end up losing. But it yeah. still didn't prevent me. I always knew this is what I wanted to do. This is what I enjoy the most. So, and
that's really admirable. Like, I would like for my listeners, like the Menzimes, to know that, you know what, it's really important that whatever your dream is, you follow. People would ridicule you and everything, but one day they will see you and like admire you and be like so proud of you, and you know, be so sad they treated you like that ever. Because honestly, guys, we'll get to where he is now, but looking at David right now, I'm always so proud of him, where he has reached, like the kind of people he gets to interview, people that people dream of seeing, people that people wish they could even, I'm sure you have their numbers and stuff because they are not in Ghana, so you need to be communicating with them to yeah. get them on the show and stuff. And that's like wonderful. That's how I was telling you that, like, why would you say that in this part of the world? You could have been a coach like anywhere in the world, because I mean, look where you've gotten to. We're just this commentating and being on radio and stuff. And I'm always saying, I'm always wondering, won't David come to Accra? Because he does so well, he's so good at what he does. I think you excel better in Accra. Then I'm like, oh, maybe he just really likes Takradi. Is that like your brand? Do you like feel like you are branding yourself in a certain way? Do you ever invest your mind to like branding yourself?
Well, I have ambitions of moving to Accra at some point, but I feel I just started. Mm-hmm. I've been in the background, so I don't know if I would jump the gun, but maybe this is where I start the journey. I began 2014 mm-hmm. after SHS, as mm-hmm. given the connection to join Empire from that EIB network. Mm-hmm. And back then, as an SHS graduate, I virtually knew nothing about journalism or radio broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I only knew about football. I could only speak about football. Oh. I could mm-hmm. only argue, analyze. But then I was coached, I was given training, and then I got to school. So after school, every semester on the vacations, I go back to Empire FM. That was what I was using for my internships. So I did that till we completed school. So it was during school. Pardon?
There's been a long-standing relationship.
Yeah, there's been a very, since 2014. So after school, national service, I did it on University of Ghana campus as a TA. But then my 4 years, I studied Swahili plus mm-hmm. political science. So the Swahili gave me an extra advantage in that I have a language that's used internationally. And that language will go a long way to help me in areas.
Yeah.
Open up doors for me.
Some country when they were doing some football thing and they spoke Swahili there or something. Or that was when we were doing your year abroad and something. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, when I went to Tanzania, we arrived on Friday morning. And on Saturday, they needed people to go on TV. And all of my colleagues pushed that I go because I'm the one who's been used to going on radio and all of that. Then that would open up another opportunity in that I'll get the chance to go to Azam TV, which is Tanzania's biggest private television or satellite television. I got the chance to go for an interview with Azam TV and join the Azam sports team. But unfortunately, the move broke down. I got the chance to work with Mwana Sporty, that's the national publications company. But I only worked with them for a day.
Interesting.
I only worked with them for a day because it had to, there were issues surrounding my visa and the HR wanted it sorted out before I continue. And it never got sorted out. So, but that... those opportunities give me a chance to connect with people, which in turn, in the future, will come back to help me. And I'm talking about the future recently.
Absolutely.
So after school...
No, David, let me ask the questions here because I don't want you to be jumping the gun.
Sure.
I want them to follow the story in a certain way because I want to abet their minds to, first of all, having fortitude and, you know, I want everyone to understand that, like, you should... Your story is really inspiring me right now. Like, because I feel like our minds are strong and God is listening, plus the universe is also there. So when you have a strong conviction that this is something you want to do and it might not even turn out in one way, it can come out the other way. And so far, your journey right from school to how you entered Empire Radio to how you did your year abroad and all those things, it's like a nice knot is tying, like we're tying a nice bow tie on something, and that is really fascinating for me. So I want to come back to Empire Radio. So right now you're at Empire Radio and you're working and you're commenting and everything. I saw that I think you're affiliated to GH1, if I'm right.
Yeah. Okay. It's under the EIB network brand. So GH1, Star FM, Ago TV.
Nice. So I saw that I think during the elections, you were also, you know, talking for them. I don't know if it was in Takradi, but you were with GH1 around that time.
Yeah, for the elections, I was reporting in the Kismintim constituency for GH1.
Nice. That's fantastic. We are not about on that right now, so I'll just move straight to football. So then me, one day, I'm sitting my Samuel, and then my friends are talking football, and then they're all like, there's some guy called Peter Drury. He's like the best commentator the world has ever seen. Jane. And I'm like, oh, interesting. I don't care. And this person seems like a very big person, like, great, like, and everybody is so excited. And I remember that I even saw Twitter posts about him, and everybody is so wowed by how he speaks. Then I opened my WhatsApp status, and then there it is, David and Peter Drury about to have an interview. I'm like, wow, this is where David is now. That's fantastic by all standards. David, how was that experience?
I must say, even though it's been a premature career, but it's one of the best I think I'd ever have, because Peter is somebody I really admire. I call him Peter just because of the relationship we built. I think he's been my friend for nearly 3 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, let me brag a little, we talk a lot.
Interesting. And
he's been my friend for close to 3 years now. And one thing I've learned from the relationship we built is that I've never gone out to Peter to ask him for an interview, and he's never denied me. Absolutely. Every time I I reach out to him, Peter, I want you to speak on this subject for me, Peter would step up. Now, I mentioned premature career, so let me explain that a little. So when I joined Empire, I was in the production room,
mm-hmm.
and I was in charge of content, whatever we discuss on radio, I was mm-hmm. the one that would draft the content. So more or less, I was the producer. I wasn't the face of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in the production room for 2 years where we generate content and there's someone else to speak on radio about the content we've drafted. So in that production room, that was where I met Peter. And I think for six times, if my memory serves me right, for six times, he had spoken on six different issues on our radio station, that's Empire FM. And we're the first to ever speak to him in Ghana.
Wow.
Yeah, we're the first to ever speak to Peter on radio in Ghana. And it's so when I got the opportunity to now become head of sports, that I reached out to him and told him that I'm now head of sports and I also want him to speak to me, because in the past, I had always been fixing the interviews for the previous head of sports. But now I've taken that role, and he even congratulated me and said, no problem, when do I want it? He gave me a date, did a video to endorse me, and that went viral. It was huge. That endorsement he gave me was huge.
It's such a big deal in the football world.
Yeah.
Everybody I know who loves football absolutely loves him. So for me to see you with him, and I saw that endorsement too, I'm like, wow. And you know, that's all part of branding. So this year on my podcast, we are trying to circle around branding. So it's very important for me to, you know, draw people's attention to the fact that Pesa is a big deal in the football world, and you are in the football world as well. So for him to come and endorse you on something, on a position you've gotten, is sort of, I feel like you can go to any network and sort of leverage that as well, because he's such a big, big deal. And I feel like so far you're doing really well with branding yourself and putting yourself out there. And do you think that like your human relationship, like your human relationship skills, is also helping with how you are relating to these people and making you have long-standing relationships with them?
Well, I think it's contributed immensely, because if you look at the people I've spoken to over the years, I always say I'm no special kid, but it's just the way, one, has to be God's favor, and two, the way I relate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond Peter Drury, we've done a host of many leading international football personalities. We've done John Champion. And for those of you who play FIFA, you know John Champion. You know Derek Ray. Those of you who play Pro Evolution Soccer, he's the voice on Pro Evolution
Soccer. Hey, I don't know Sammy.
So there's Derek Ray. Oh. We've done Lucas Radebe.
John Champion has worked for BBC and ITV, yeah. ESPN.
And ITV. He's currently with ESPN.
Yeah.
We've done Lucas Radebe, former Leeds United captain. He was actually the last captain to have played with Leeds United when they were in the Premier League before they returned. We've done John Dykes. He was the face of Premier League Africa football coverage till he moved to Asia and joined Fox Sports. We've done Rob Harris, his Association Press, the head of sports there. We've done a number of people, even some I have forgotten, because
yeah,
it's quite a lot. We've done, I recently did Mark Gleason. He's a FIFA's archivist in charge of African football, everything African football.
Wow.
Mark Gleason oversees it. And I spoke to Mark Gleason over the AFCON. I spoke to current Gambia head coach, Tom Seinfeld. He's the first man to qualify Gambia to a major tournament.
Wow.
I spoke to him.
You know, everything I've been hearing so far is David is on a path to greatness. David is on a path to greatness. I feel like very soon, right now you're so young and you've done all these, like you're talking to all these people. I don't know how people are seeing it, but from my point of view, it's such a big deal to get interviews, because even for this podcast, getting people to come and give their two cents on issues, I have to go through a lot. So, and these people are very busy people, well-known people and all that. And for you, small but mighty, to get them, it's such a big deal for me. And I feel like your career is, you know, about to, like, take a turn. And you see, I feel like you might, you Ghana is not, you are thinking of moving to Accra, right?
But yeah, I feel very much.
Well, with time, you are moving to Accra. Before we realize, you moved out of Ghana, and we are just hearing you like, oh, David used to be in Ghana, this now he's commenting like Peter Drury somewhere, you know. It's amazing. So I like how your journey has unfolded. I like that you stayed true to who you are, especially of what mommy thought. You sort of compromised for her, which is great as well. I mean, you still have to take her parents' opinions into consideration. And look, this part is actually leading you to greatness. I can tell, like, the picture is so, I'm sure it's not an easy thing, but it's so beautiful right now. And so right now that we've known you a little better, we can now delve into the football proper. Please, as I've already said, and I've taken my stand, I mean, I don't know much about football, but we can't talk about AFCON. Please, what's wrong with our team? What's wrong with Black Stars? What's going on?
Well, the problems with the Black Stars is not just one. It's quite a lot. We've got one. Over the past couple of years, the Black Stars haven't got it right with technical appointments. And when I'm talking about technical appointments, I'm looking at particular reference to the coach and the technical team. Mm-hmm. Recently, we had Milo coming back. Prior to Milo, there was CK Akono. If you look at the two appointments, those are errors we've made. Now, coming back from that debacle in 2014, the team dropped. Mm-hmm. The love for the team got down.
Absolutely. And because when I hear people saying, I'm going to watch Ghana match, I'm like, really? You are not tired of these Ghanaians disappointing you and breaking your heart every minute, every second. You are still rushing to go and watch Ghana match. Then you come and tell me you can't eat. Hey, bro, because of Ghana match.
Well, we lost all of that after 2014. Everybody knows the saga that transpired. The money and players holding the nation to ransom.
What the funniest tweets, right, about that? That why did Anas do an expose on Nantechi? Because if the Nantechi would have paid, they would have qualified. It was so funny for me.
2014, the love dropped. And then we had Anas come through with that expose, which further weakened any foundations or any sources of love that would ever happen for the Black Stars or that would ever happen for football. So there was a general and then the only way I've always seen, particularly when it comes to football fans, is football fans do not get any material benefits from the clubs they support. Mm-hmm. Except for those who really are committed members who pay dues, and to some extent you only get souvenirs, match day packages. That's only at very best, that's what you can get. So what you can give to football fans has got to be the emotional satisfaction,
yeah, absolutely,
that they derive from following. And to give them that, you need to play good football, you need to win games, you need to win trophies. And Ghana, yeah, hasn't won an AFCON in over 40 years. The last was in 1982.
Wow, that's a lot.
I'm pretty sure there are quite a number of people in this generation who haven't seen the AFCON trophy, particularly with Ghana. So,
of course, like two times your age, you are going to see some.
So you need to get it right. And we didn't get it right with the technical team. Either of the past two coaches that have come through never played beautiful football to interest fans. They didn't win games convincingly. And all of that culminated into the team being poor.
I want to ask something. Is it the coach's fault that the quality of the game serve, like the way they are playing serve, is not beautiful, or is it just that our new players don't have the skill? What is it?
Because me. I was going to come there. First, we have the problem with the technical team. Two, mm-hmm, we also have issues.
Mm-hmm.
there are unconfirmed facts that there are factions in the Black Stars team. Mm-hmm. There are players who come out there who do not give off their best. Two, there's also the issue of call-ups. The players we have often called to the Black Stars, they have never been up to speed. Take, for example, the African Cup of Nations we went to. If you take the striking department, there was Jordan Ayew who was called up. And Jordan Ayew has just one goal in over 40 games for club. And in any serious national team, I don't think they would call that record. A striker because, who has just one goal.
Like everything else in Ghana, it's they are using connections.
Exactly. So there are questions about call-ups. Because you call a striker who has just got one goal in 40 games. What sort of confidence is a striker going to go in with a tournament? Benjamin Tete, who was our striker, who boasted the best record so far. He had around 7 goals in 15 games. That was pretty much the best record. There was Richmond Boachea, who has scored just 2 goals in about 16 games in Israel. So you look at the strikers we took. These are players who are struggling for goals. These are players who are lacking in confidence when it comes to finishing. But you look at other compatriots. You take, for example, Nigeria. Mm-hmm. There's Kelechi Iheanacho, who boasted of a good record when he was going into the AFCON. There was Taiwo Awoniyi, who plays for FC Union Berlin. And he's a third top scorer in the Bundesliga.
Not to cut you short. So all this comes to the player's confidence, one, and also the brand they have for themselves. And if your brand is weak, obviously your confidence will be weak because you don't have a good record for yourself for us to associate you with. And so my question now would be, how come we are choosing these players when everybody can see that these people are not good enough to be on a national team? And then I'll just tell myself that, you know what, this is Ghana, and then it is just what's the name, Kra? Connection. Their father knows somebody. Their mother knows somebody. They themselves, they know somebody. So that's how come they are there. Because, I mean, I feel like this country has a wealth of talented players that nobody have heard of in these zone goals, in these small areas, who can do so much better than these people. But yet again, here we are. With all the things, but still.
So that takes us to our third problem. That has to do with structures at the Ghana Football Association. So we are not calling the right players because the structures in place sort of are skewed. Times that players being called and they don't get to play basically because we know they are satisfying certain members of the Ghana Football Association's interest. So we do not have a laid down procedure when it comes to call-ups. The coach makes a call-ups, the management and executive council of the GFA would vet the call-ups and endorse.
Structures. The problem is not just the coach, but Ghanaians will just blame the coach. The problem is everybody in that association, everybody in that area, because and then you people too who are in the on the media, whatever, do you people ever call them out? I mean, I don't listen, so I don't know, but you people should be calling them out because it's really not fair to Ghanaians. Like you said, this is like an emotional something, and Ghanaians are investing so much. I mean, on football days, there's no traffic in this country because everybody is home watching. I don't even know why, but yeah, they still want to have that emotional attachment to their Black Stars, and their Black Stars are not shining. Is it because they are black? That's not fair.
Well, the Black Stars are not shining because, like I mentioned, their catalogue of problems playing. I already spoke about the technical team players and the structures. And if you don't get all of these right, it won't work out. Because you can't keep... The coach will go. That would just be the scapegoat. But we'll come back to the same problem. Because we've got quality players abroad. There are rumours around that there are other our best players abroad are making or taking decisions not wanting to play for the Black Stars again
No, forget those abroad. I'm telling you that there are people in this country, in these zone goals, in who are playing like Ronaldo, Messi, they just need something small, a little bit of polishing, and they are good to go. Those people would die and sweat and kill themselves for Ghanaian football because of, after all, where they are coming from into the Black Stars would have been like a very big elevation. But nobody is scouting them.
Well, I don't agree entirely. There are players in the local scene that do deserve to play, but one of the things you've got to understand is when you're playing on the biggest of stages, sometimes you need players who are a little bit above the class of the local players we do have. Yes, I won't downplay. I'm actually a big fan of the local players getting inclusions into the Black Stars, but I feel sometimes we can have a perfect blend of the two.
Should be balance, and there's no balance. So my point is, these people, of course, I mean, you are just playing at the backyard or some park in your area or something, but I'm telling you on authority that, you know, when you don't have anything here and you get something, you treasure it and you value it. These people have nothing. All they need is someone to discover their talent and tell them, you know what, I'm going to give you a chance, and they're going to, but these people, they already feel like, oh, the Ghana money I'm getting saved, it's not as much as whatever I'm getting for these foreign teams, so yeah, let me just come and show myself on them. They're not killing themselves for the game.
Well, they will themselves for the game when the structures are fixed.
Oh, forget about it. I don't believe it. Right now they are all money conscious. Now I'm back to the money.
I don't agree entirely. Our players are money conscious. They are patriotic. Oh. And for every player, you've got to understand at a certain point in time, your career will expire. At a certain point in time, you've got to understand that you will no longer be active. For most footballers, your active age, particularly if you're an outfield player, your active age is between the ages of 18, let me use 18 because usually 18 is when you can sign a professional contract. In some, it's also 16, but let's stick with 18. So between 18 to 34, at very most 36, that is when you'll be very active. We have the exceptional cases where, for example, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is an outfield player playing at 40, still giving off his best. We've got Ronaldo, who is 37, and he's still giving off his best. But those are extreme cases. Those are one in a million cases. But for most footballers, between 18 to 34, that's when you give off those are the most active years of your career.
I feel like they are money conscious. Anyways, I read something which was so funny. So this is just like a funny something. It said, "Dear Comoros, Ghana is a poor country with pride leaders. Nothing will stop them from infusing our money on Black Stars. Save Ghanaians, because if Black Stars wins today's match, even our coach alone will get 3.4 billion Ghana cedis. All Ghanaians are praying for you to either draw or win. Don't disappoint. Ghanaians wish you well." And I'm like, is this where it's gotten to? And I hear Comoros. I didn't even know about this country till they were playing. And I'm like, really? Are we shine like that? So there's them that's a country that is so poor and they probably do not have enough as much resources as we do as our disposal for the Black Stars can actually beat us.
You know, the funny thing about Comoros began a football project led by their national president in 2015. Mm-hmm. And guess where they came for assistance? It was Ghana.
Absolutely. And they said that's alive from cocoa to go to football, period.
And 7 years later, they beat us in a major tournament, which is their very first. 7 years is when the project yielded results. They meet Ghana, beat us, and they are still reaping the benefits of beating Ghana, because after they beat the Black Stars, they got the chance to get to the knockout stages of the AFCON. Mm-hmm. And that's the very first time. This is their first time they are playing the AFCON. This is the first time they are even getting to qualify to the next stage of the competition. They got to score their very first goals at the AFCON against. So it only speaks about structures. That's why I said structures are very key. One of the things that would remedy the Black Stars problems has got to be identifying the project we want to be. The successes we chalked in the past were based on...
Can we call that a brand?
Well, you can say for ourselves, let's look at what we intend on achieving. Because what we did in 2010... that had it not been for Luis Suarez, we would have been on the verge of history, was as a result of someone's brain project, Ben Kofi. He built a 10-year development plan for Ghana football, which started in 2001 at the under 17 and under 20 levels. They were the bedrock of our 2006 World Cup. In 2009, when we won the under 20 in Egypt, they formed the bedrock of the 2010 AFCON team and also the World Cup team that made it all the way to the quarterfinals. After 2010, the project had expired, it had grown stale. Nobody thought it wise to continue the Ben Kofi project. Nobody thought it wise to invest or invent a new project. Then we struggled on the international stage. It began with a poor showing at the World Cup in 2014, where we saw the whole drama. Then 2015, 2017, 2019. It would interest you to know. Yep.
No, I'm listening. So interest me to know. I want to know.
It would interest you to know that the Black Stars or the National Under 23 team hasn't played at an Olympic Games since 2004. That's some 18 years ago.
You know, I mean, it's so obvious and glaring to me that we have bad management for our football team. I feel like they should just stop going to any major tournaments. We should outsource all of them to foreign football. And we'll just know that we don't have a football. Somebody will just choose their, me, I'll go tonight. Somebody will say me, I'll go tonight. Just somebody will say me, I'll go to Tanzania. Everybody will choose the African country that will be supposed. Because this Ghana, the FC, you support them. You are just going to die younger than you are supposed to die, period. So besides do something about the management and do something better with the team, I absolutely think that it's really not fair to Ghanaians that so much money goes into football and then it doesn't yield anything. That is like, this is my 2 cents on the whole matter right now.
The government has actually seen it, and if you may have heard, last week Thursday they held a cabinet meeting over the poor performance of the Black Stars, and on Friday the Ministry of Youth and Sports, that's the arm of the government that looks at sports, met with the Ghana Football Association. And one of the things they came to as a conclusion was that they needed to dissolve the management committee of the Black Stars. They wanted to reconstitute it. 2, they want to have more influence in the decisions of the and the running of football.
I hope that helps, because they are all the same. Anyway. Well,
we hope it will help. It has to be on good grounds. The government interference mustn't be entirely much, because there's a FIFA clause that requires that governments do not interfere with a running ball. So when government decides to go too much, we face a possible ban.
Yeah.
So we need to find the perfect balance, but I think that's the best way to go. We need to they put in structures in place.
I was going to put this up anyway. So, you know how girls are always sad when it's like the football seasons, like AFCON, La Liga, all those things. It's like, all the boys will leave and they'll be so, because they don't have time for their girlfriends and stuff like that. Please tell your friends to be getting time for their girlfriends, because it's not fair. At least, can be recording them and watch them another time. If your girlfriend is you, please go.
Excitement in watching a live football game is not the same as watching a recorded game.
Then they should forget about it. What did they get from you? Is that what emotional satisfaction? Is that not what your girlfriend is for? Is that not what your girlfriend is for, David? Emotional satisfaction is from your girlfriend and not football. Let us put that out there right now. Guys, me, I've told you, if your girlfriend leaves, you'll be nice to know. Football will not come into your house and come and call you baby. Okay. Okay, guys. David, it's been amazing. I'm not a football fan, but you got me interested. I was listening. I was excited. Thank you so much for coming. And I'm so proud of your journey. Your journey is a beautiful one. And I asked God to, you know, sort of continue elevating you so I can come back on my podcast. And they'll say, hey, that big shot came on the podcast too. Right now, I have big shots because, I mean, how many young journalists can boast of talking to all these people on the international level? So I'm so proud of you. Thank you. Do you want to say something for the last to the listeners before you go?
Well, I must say thank you for the opportunity as well. And just before I go, I think if you have a dream, believe in it and work towards it. It would always yield the results you're looking forward for.
Amen. Thank you so much. And guys, so now that you know David, be expecting him some more, maybe when they are doing, well, that Europe League or something. I don't know the things, but he'll be informing me so that we can talk about it. And I promise next time I'm not going to come here empty-headed about football. Next time they are playing something, I'll come here and make my mouth chubby and have an opinion about everything that he has to say. So guys, thank you so much. As usual, it's always a party on Menzies Tea Party. I hope the football fans enjoy this one, because I did this one for you. It's only fair that you guys also have an episode every now and then, right? So guys, bye David, and bye everyone else. See you on our next episode. Bye.